Let's go ahead and be seated. Dave and Bev Winchester have known Amy's mommy and Amy, at least. I don't know how much more of the family for a lot of years. You made a baby quilt. And she was with her best friend this last week up north. And Dave has been going to Fir Point the last couple of board meetings as a representative of Tacoma Bible Church. And I know that they have been looking for a camp director for some time. Isn't that right, Dave? And Bev heard about that need. Bev, who came to your mind when you heard that they needed a camp director?
It wasn't the camp director. It was when we had our last...
We had an all-church gathering at Bridgeview, and we met the new pastor of the Baptist Church, and he was talking about working with the youth. But he lives over in Medford somewhere.
Ashland.
Excuse me. Okay, the other side of the valley. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a person who was working with youth, particularly in our valley and all around? And Kenny's name came to mind, I thought, because I knew he was graduating from Multnomah. Is it university now? Used to be Multnomah Bible School and then Bible College, and now it's university. Anyway, and I knew he was training there, and I thought, wouldn't it be fabulous if he could, you know, live in the Illinois Valley and work with the young people here? And I thought, well, but, you know, they have to have money to live on, and how could that be supported? But then when I heard they were applying for the position at Fir Point, I thought, oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? So I think it's wonderful.
But Bev did not connect the dots. She thought that thought. Well, somehow you guys found out about the position and the need and have a heart toward ministry with kids. And they made application with the mission that we're part of, the In Faith Mission. And then, I don't know, it all came together. Dave heard that it was them and came home and told his wife, who danced a little jig around their house, I guess. But anyway... Kenny and Amy Gray, welcome. And we've been planning this for 5 or 6 weeks. What I told Kenny we need to know you. So I would like them to share, or him, I'm not sure, Amy, if you'll be coming or not, just him, okay. She's got you got three to deal with there. So Kenny, come on up and just tell us about you. How did you meet God? How did you meet each other? Etc. It's okay.
I just want to say thank you on behalf of my family for just welcoming us so warmly here. The Winchesters have hosted us in their home, and then the Robinsons had us for dinner over last night, and we're just really blown away by the hospitality that we've received thus far, so thank you very much. Wow, I kind of look across the board here, and I see a lot of different people from different generations, and it's really great to see such a healthy mix in the church. So anyway, I guess that's enough of small talk. You probably want to get to know me and know why I'm here. Maybe want to know the vision and the passion that I have for the ministry that God has presented to us. Can I open with a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for the family of God. God, we thank you here for this body of believers who are known by you. God, you know each and every person, and you're just interested in having an intimate relationship with each one, Lord, including me. And I just thank you, Lord. The more I think about the past and how you just reached down to me and pulled me up so that I could be a part of your family, Lord. I'm sure many here can also remember that time or that course of time when you just said, hey, I'm here and I love you. Help us to remember that, Lord, and I pray that you just guide my mouth and help me to say everything that's going to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, first of all, I don't know if I'm a city boy or a country boy, okay? I was born in a Detroit suburb, Warren, Michigan. And this is a little bit of my travels. I went from Warren, Michigan to Pinckney, Michigan, a rural area, lived on a dirt road. I went from Pinckney, Michigan to Flint, Michigan city. Some of you have probably heard of it, kind of the armpit of the mitten there, the mitten state. That was where I came to know the Lord. I went from Flint to Gillette, Wyoming. Anybody familiar with Gillette, Wyoming? Just a little town in the northeast corner of Wyoming. And then I went from there to Portland, Oregon. So city, country, city, country, city. God is calling us here. And so hopefully this is where we'll end up for the long haul. I'm really excited about that. I was born to my mother and father. Kenneth Gray is my father's name. He was a Vietnam veteran, wrestled with many demons because of his experiences in that war. He and my mom met 3 years before I was born, and they had some struggles. My dad was an alcoholic. He struggled with the responsibility of being a husband and a father. He just had a lot of things that happened in his life that scarred him dramatically. And I remember as a child, my parents divorced when I was 7, and I remember as a child hearing their arguments and thinking, boy, I wish everything could just be smooth sailing. My best times as a child in that home were when my parents were together and when we were all together as a family. Obviously, that didn't last long. My parents divorced when I was 7, and we started our journey away from the family that I loved so much. Family is so important. So I remember a time when I was playing tag with my friends on the street, well, in somebody's yard, and my friend little Gary spit on me, and I ran across the street to catch him, and I met the side of a van. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the old vans with the mirrors that protrude out of the side. Well, that mirror just caught me right here. Plastic surgeon, and 120 stitches later, I was okay. Miraculously, I didn't even suffer a concussion. I was very cognitive throughout that whole process. And the thing that I remember was when the ambulance showed up, and my mom and dad were standing there, and the ambulance driver said, "We can only fit one of your parents in the van, in the ambulance. Which one do you want to ride with you?" And I remember thinking, boy, I love both my parents, and they've been arguing so much. I don't want to let any of them down. I want them both. And I say that because that's something that's forever implanted in my memory. And when I think about my mother and father, that often comes to mind, and I think, what if God were able to get a hold of that family? What if God were able to? Anyway, I look back in sorrow at that instance, but God had a very big plan. We bounced around living with relatives. My father went and did his own thing, while my mother, who was obviously reeling from heartbreak and the responsibility of caring for me and my two brothers. I have an older brother, Mark. I have a younger brother, Nathan. I have another younger brother, Chris. And I have a sister, Becca. Chris and Becca come from my stepfather and my mother's marriage. Anyway, my father was unfit to have custody of us, and my mother was burnt out, and she ran away and joined the carnival. So my Aunt Nancy and Uncle Ray took temporary custody of my brothers and I, and that was when we moved from Southfield, I was a city slicker, to small town of Pinckney. No streetlights, no sidewalks. It's quite a culture shock for us. They had animals. Maybe some of you have a similar setup that they had. We had three cows, we had some Angora goats, we had turkeys, we had chickens, we had rabbits, you know, kind of a hodgepodge of different things. We get eggs, you know, from the chicken coop. It was our job to feed the animals. It was our job to tend to the garden. We were just city kids. We didn't know what it was like to live in the country. We didn't know how hard it was, you know, to work the land. And my aunt and uncle were very harsh disciplinarians. They were verbally and physically abusive. We knew the switch quite well after we left there. And many times that switch landed in other parts of the body besides the butt. So it was a tumultuous, probably the worst 2 years of my life growing up. But God had a plan. My mom married my stepdad. They both met on the road. I don't know if any of you are familiar with an outfit called the Pew Shows, P-U-G-H Shows. They were nationally renowned back in the 80s. My mom and stepdad traveled the country, just setting up rides and taking tickets from people and stuff like that. And when they came back into the picture, we lived with them. And I was damaged goods by then. I had resentment towards my mom for abandoning us. I missed my dad. So I didn't get along well with my stepdad. Being that he was a rough taskmaster as well, many times spoke with his fist, it was very difficult for me. Then entering into my youth, I really despised them. And I learned to keep to myself. My life was, in my opinion, out of control. So I did everything I could to avoid the reality which was my life. So everything came to a head after I graduated from high school by the skin of my teeth, about a 2.2 GPA, I think. I think I flunked a class and still graduated. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. You know, when I got to that point, I had been trying different drugs. I was smoking regularly. I was smoking a few other things. I was trying out LSD for the first time, and I really fell in love with it because the escape from reality was just so cool. It became my drug of choice. I remember when my friend Jake said, "Here, try this." And I said, "Well, what is that?" He said, "This is triple dip white blotter acid." And I said, "Hey, sounds good to me." I did it. Tried other things as well. By the time I was 16, my biological father met a woman named Shirley. She already had a son from a previous marriage. They got married, and he was still struggling with his alcoholism. And because my mother was a very difficult person to be around, Shirley kept my dad away from that situation. And while keeping him away from that situation, she kept him away from his children. So I resented her a lot for that. And when I was 16, I got a call, well, my mom got a call, saying, "I have some horrible news. The kid's dad was sick with lung cancer and died." And he was 42 years old when he died of lung cancer. I think it had a lot to do with the Agent Orange that he experienced when he was out in the field, when he was in Vietnam. Didn't help that he was a heavy smoker, didn't treat his body all that well. And that really threw me in for a loop. I hated my stepdad even more. Every time he tried to discipline me, I'd get more and more defiant, to the point where we had some fisticuffs and I knocked him down and hurt him pretty bad. And my mom, whom I could never lay a hand on, threw me out the front door and said, "Come back in an hour, your stuff will be there waiting for you." So I did that. That began my journey out of the home as an adult, as a very immature adult. Bounced around living with friends here and there, you know, continuing this downward spiral. I had a coworker who worked with me at a place called Export Corporations. It was a packaging plant. He said, "Well, you can get a room here for $50 a week." I said, "Sounds good to me." My parents were already charging me $50 a week to live at home, so I thought, well, I'll have it made. Didn't realize that being on my own was going to be so much more costly, having to pay for my own food and do my own laundry and all those things like that. You kids have it made, okay? Don't be in a hurry to get out of the situation that you're in, because it's a blessing when you have parents who love you and take care of these things for you. So yeah, that's my little spiel to you young people. Honor your mother and father. Love them, obey them. Know that you got it pretty good. I got kicked out. By the time I was 22, I became homeless. I shared with Dave Winchester a little bit of my story, and I'll kind of get into this a little bit, but I don't want to, you know, glorify my past life. I want to get to the point that God rescued me. I was staying with a man and his wife. It was a mixed marriage. She was black, he was white. His name was Mark Madden. We called him Dubois. That was his neighborhood name, his nickname. He was a wino. He drank a lot of wine. He liked wine, and I liked hanging out with him because I liked wine too. And he was also an epileptic. One Sunday, we were sitting there drinking wine and watching the football game, and he stood up real quick, and I was like, "What's going on here?" And he fell backwards like a board, just thud. And when I looked at him, he was convulsing on the floor. This is going to sound kind of weird to some of you. I believe God gave me a vision. I looked in his eyes, and I saw my face on his face. My head was on his body. It really scared me. I wasn't taking any acid at the time. I know they say alcohol can cause delusions and things like that. So I went to an acquaintance by the name of Lionel Moore. Lionel was a binge drinker. He was a Vietnam veteran. He drew Social Security, and when he'd get his Social Security check, he'd buy gin by the gallon, and he would just binge drink. And I drank with him, you know, a number of times, and he was just one of the neighborhood guys that I got to know over time. And I said, "Can I stay with you, Lionel? I really need a place to go. I don't have anywhere to go." Because I wasn't allowed to go back. Mark's wife, Dubois' wife, said, "You're out of here. You can't stay here anymore." I said, "What can I do?" And he said, "You need to go to the mission. Carriage Town Ministries is an American Gospel Rescue mission in Flint, Michigan. It's a homeless shelter, and they have a discipleship program for people who struggle with addiction. I checked in there in October of 1995, and I said, I need a place to stay." And Linnell Howell, who was the front desk worker there at the time, said, "Yep, just come here and I'll sign you up." And he gave me my bed number, so I'll never forget to this day. It was bed number 13. 42 beds in that dorm. You get your bed number, you line up downstairs, you walk upstairs, you walk by a window, they give you your towel and pajama roll. Then you walk in there and you just open shower, you take your shower, you put on your pajamas, and you get into your bed. The humbling experience. I was the only white guy there that night. I just think back at those things, and I think fondly of those days too, because that was the beginning of God. Well, that wasn't really the beginning, but that was the time that God knew he was going to call me to be his child. Just to backtrack, when I was 5 or 6, I can't remember, but I knew I couldn't read. We had some Jehovah's Witnesses that came to our house, and my mother and father sent them packing. And I was just sitting on the porch, and they said, "Here you go." And they gave me this gold book called My Book of Bible Stories. Is anyone familiar with that book? A few years ago, I was at a secondhand store, and I found a copy of it. And I said, "I just have to buy this." It was only like a dollar. But it brings back memories of when God started speaking to me as a young child. I couldn't read, but I saw the pictures. And I remember seeing, any of you who are familiar with Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe a different picture of the crucifixion. Jesus was crucified on a stake. So I saw this picture of Jesus, and he had his hands on a stake, and blood was flowing down his arms and stuff. And I'm like, what in the world is this all about? Fast forward a couple years later, after the divorce, we were living with my aunt and uncle with my mother, and there was an Awana program at a church down the street. And we were there for, I don't know, a couple weeks or something like that. And my brother Mark ended up leaving because he got in trouble and he got spanked by one of the people there at the church. Stuff that, I guess that stuff was permissible still back in the day. Kids, you're not getting spanked. Be grateful. At least not in church. I got kicked out for fighting. One of the church kids just kept egging me on, and I couldn't stand it anymore, and I socked him one. We got into a fight. And he said, "Leave and never come back." But you know what? God used that because I memorized John 3:16 for a prize and never forgot it. It's kind of funny how that works, looking back. But God had little instances. There were little instances in my life where God, you know, looking back now, I can see clearly that God was trying to speak to me. He was trying to draw me to him. So here I am at Homer at Carriage Town Ministries, a man by the name of Reverend Homer Bassett, who was the men's director there. He said, can't you see why your life is so screwed up? You don't have a relationship with Jesus." He is an old school Southern Baptist, you know, I think the Cathedrals was his favorite gospel group. And I remember riding around with him in his van while we were picking up furniture donations, and we'd be jamming to the Cathedrals and the Gaithers. Just great, great moments like that in my early salvation experience. God brought people along my path who saw something in me that I did not see in myself. He brought people to encourage me, well, to share truth with me, to encourage me, to nurture me, to bring me up in the ways of God. That's really a condensed version, so I know I'm kind of probably rambling a little bit here. But you know, My dad died at 42 years old. I'll be 42 on Tuesday. It's kind of weird when I think about God gave me life. I kind of have to go back a little bit because God just brought something to my memory. After I got saved, I really struggled with unforgiveness in my heart. I was still carrying bitterness toward my mother and my stepfather because they were the reason why my life was screwed up. I had a hard time getting over the hump with that. And that woman, Shirley, that detestable woman who kept my father away from us, who didn't even tell us that he was sick until after he was dead. How could I ever forgive that? Homer Bassett, bless his heart, said, Kenny, you need to learn to forgive. If you don't forgive, you're going to carry it around your whole life. God's not going to be able to use you as much as he would if you learn to forgive people. And I wrestled with it for quite a while. I said, all right, I need to find this woman. I need to have a conversation with her. And I struggled with it, and I struggled with it, and finally God said, Kenny, you can do this because I'm living in you now, and I can help you to do it. I called her up on the phone. I got her number, and I called her up on the phone, and we had a conversation. And I said, Shirley, I need to ask you for forgiveness because I've hated you for a long time for keeping my dad away from us. As soon as I did that, it was like Joshua marching around Jericho and just the walls came tumbling down. And we just had a great conversation. And I found out that a couple years before my dad died, they started going to church. And my dad, who was a carpet installer, that was his trade. He did other flooring things too, laying tile and stuff like that. He and the pastor just grew to be really close, and he replaced all the carpet in the church. And she said, Kenny, the greatest times that your dad had before he died were in church. And so my heart melted, and I said, you know, I'm going to see my dad one day in heaven. And God really brought healing through that. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I'm glad that God helped me to do that because Shirley died of cancer 2 years later. And had she passed away, I would not have had the opportunity to really experience the joy and freedom that comes with forgiveness. So here we are, 20 years later. The sanctification process, the Holy Spirit working in me, God being so very patient with me. God brought people into my life who invested in me, saw things in me that I didn't necessarily see in myself. I met Amy. We just celebrated our 7-year anniversary, May 2nd. You know, God brought her along, and God really matured me through our marriage relationship. And as a father, he's helped me become more responsible. And he planted in me a vision to love and care for families. When I started at Multnomah University, of course, I was a Bible theology major. Everyone who enters there has to be a Bible theology major. You can take a second minor or major. My second major was elementary education because I had been working with kids in the church for 16 years, and I just love kids and I love young people. And I said, God's calling me to be a children's pastor. I really felt that in my heart. And then my second semester, I had a bit of a, I don't know if you call it an epiphany or not, but God made it clear to me that you reach children to impact families. So my vision kind of changed, and I believe that was the Holy Spirit directing me in that area. You know, it was my senior year, my last semester. In Faith came to our missions conference, and I had heard about In Faith, which was formerly American Missionary Fellowship. My father and mother-in-law supported a couple missionaries who were involved in that ministry, and I heard that they had some, you know, camp ministries that were, you know, very prevalent here in the Pacific Northwest. And I said, well, all right, I need to keep, you know, if God brings a door, I should at least open the door and peek through it to see what's there. And of course, I didn't know where God was calling me or what he was calling me to do other than operating under my spiritual gifts and my talents that he gave me in working with children and young people. So when this opportunity opened up at Fir Point, I told Amy, I said, well, this is the place that your mom and dad were talking about, you know, and she said, oh, Fir Point. And You know, Amy lived for a number of years in Grant's Pass. She has her grandfather, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins. So she's got a lot of family out in the Grants Pass area. And, you know, we started thinking, well, maybe this is the Lord's will. And we started praying about it, and we started talking about it. And throughout that process, I had my application out to a lot of different places, you know. And there were a couple potential ministry opportunities, one serving as a children's pastor in Auburn, California. I had a church out there, and I had to pull the plug on that because there was just some questions about the integrity of the leadership at that church that concerned Amy and I. So we pulled the plug on that and felt totally at peace about it. And there were other interviews that I went through as a family pastor of a church out in the panhandle of Idaho. They ended up going with a more experienced candidate for that. But God was opening doors and closing doors and directing our steps. This is the only door that God has kept open. And not only has he kept the door open, but he has confirmed that this is where he wants us through a number of different people, through a number of different facets. So if you would like to hear about my vision and my passion for ministry here in the Southern Oregon field, I would be very excited to share those with you. I just wanted to say a little something more. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 24, Jesus' parting words to his disciples were, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all those things that I commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age." You know, Jesus didn't say, "Hey, rest in me, I'm your Savior." He said, "You need to take this relationship that you have and you need to make it work." And we don't earn salvation by works, but we work because of our relationship, because we love God, because he chose us. And then Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. You know, there are some similarities to these verses, Matthew 20, 18 through 24, and Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Paul exhorts the church in Ephesus to be together, to equip the saints to do the work of the building of Christ's church. Can you repeat something after me? To kill my Bible church is not my church. To kill my Bible church is Christ's church. And you're a part of this body, this unique body, and each of you have different gifts and talents and abilities, and each of you have different relationships. You know people that someone over there would never know. You know, God knows how he wants to use you. And yeah, he uses evangelists, pastors, teachers, prophets. He uses all those things to equip the body. Maybe he's just calling for some of you who have the gift of hospitality. Maybe he's calling some of you who have the gift of gab. Maybe you're just a natural at going out and starting relationships with people. Maybe you have an entrepreneurial mindset. How many of you in here own your own business? Yeah. Going out and meeting people, saying, "Hey, this is what I do." Like, "All right, come and do this for me and I'll pay you for it." And then they tell someone else about you and someone else about you and someone else about you. And then next thing you know, you got a pretty big customer base and you have a successful business. And it's like that with the church. Jesus said, "They will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." That is how they will know. Just loving each other, showing that to the world, and the world will know that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. One day, heaven and earth, they're going to bow before the creator of the universe, and each person is going to have to give an account. And what are we going to do with this time that we have here? What are we going to do here at Tacoma Bible Church to be an impact in the community, to bring people in, to disciple them, teach them about the Lord? So I will be, when God's timing is right, Amy and I will be in the Grants Pass area. We've already been provided a place to live off of Applegate Avenue there, just outside of town there in Grants Pass. And I'll be serving as the camp program director at Fir Point, and I'll also be serving as the children, youth, and family as a missionary in the Southern Oregon field, because I think God has gifted me and equipped me to do that. I just want to get to know you folks, and I want to know what the needs are in the community, And I just want to work with you to try to meet those needs. So Jesus commands us to get to work. If we each do our part, the church will mature, make a difference, and multiply. Partner together to make it happen. Amen. Let me pray real quick. Thank you, God, for just your love, Lord, that reaches to the lowest depths. And God, it's just a joy, and I look forward to hearing testimonies of other people here in this congregation who just miraculously received your love in a situation that seemed dire and desperate and desolate and impossible, Lord. And we all have a story, Lord. And I thank you for how all those stories fit together in this grand narrative that you've created. Help us to honor you with our lives. Help us to cherish this great salvation that we've received by grace through faith in your Son, Jesus, who loved us so much that he died for our sins. Help us, God, as our time is short, to shine a light, to be a beacon of light and in the night for those who need you and need your truths. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a table set up back there if anyone would like to talk and ask any questions. You're more than welcome to do that. But thank you so much.
Hang out for just a minute here. Kenny, will you and Amy be at Fir Point for the month of July?
We'll be there for the final week of camp. Because we're in Portland and we have a number of traveling priorities in the month of July, it would be impossible to be there for the whole camp.
Okay. So you will be there directing in that week or just kind of getting
just,
to know people?
Just getting to know people and seeing how things operate, just kind of getting a feel for that whole ministry. Dennis and Janice May, if you've never had the opportunity to meet them, I just encourage you to do that. Maybe go up to there to the camp and serve and just get to know the servant heart that they have.
Fir Point Bible Camp, there's a collection of churches of which we are a part that have camp there the whole month of July, including a family camp about when our church does its family camp. That's just awkwardly fits as the best weekend for us. And then there's a fall retreat and there's a spring retreat. The rest of the year around, the camp facility is rented by different groups that come in. But the camp program director that he's talking about will cover both the fall and the spring retreats and that month of July programming, correct?
Correct.
And then beyond that, you're talking about doing what Terry Pruitt does, only at a youth level, to the communities around Southern Oregon, including Tacoma Bible Church, come alongside to see how they can assist or be used. So that's the basic thing that Kenny and Amy are fitting into. And pray for them. They got some active kids. Anybody have questions for Kenny right now before we close? Anybody?
Fir Point is in Glendale, which is about a half hour north of Grants Pass, off of I-5 there.
About 30 miles north of Grants Pass. Can anything good come out of Glendale, California? No, I'm sorry. No, there's good stuff. There's God people there. No question. Anybody else? What?
Does Fir Point have a director or someone who's been working the first 3 weeks for you?
Do you know the answer to that question?
Sandy Chambers has been helping out a great deal with camp preparations, and of course Dennis is running around like a chicken with his head cut off most of the time. They need help. Last time I talked to Dennis, which is, I want to say, 4 or 5 days ago, they still need cabin leaders. I would encourage you, if you're interested in maybe seeing if you can get involved, give them a call. I do have Dennis's number if you would like me to give that to you.
And I was going to say, as a camp alumni, I've been for many years, you're never too old to be a cabin leader. We've had a lot of cabin leaders that are in their 60s and are great fun. You know, the kids love them. And so if you just want to dedicate 1 week to camp, whether it's a cabin leader or working in the kitchen, where I'm going to be teaching this summer.
All summer?
Yeah.
Camp phone is 832-2202. Really? If you'd like to talk to Dennis and just ask him how you can participate. I would like to pray for Janice. I want to pray for these two. Oops, another question.
Well, not really a question.
Okay.
Just because we're talking about Fir Point, I thought I should mention for the first time that we are having our women's retreat there. And it's the first weekend of October. So you women, start thinking about that and put it in your calendar. I think it's like the very
September 30, October 1 and 2,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see you, Amy, there. That would be great.
Good, thank you much. Fir Point Bible Camp has been used by the Lord for decades, a lot of decades that our mission has been involved there and prior to that. There are young people that come there that have really dysfunctional families, much of which you came through.
Yeah.
And God has gotten a hold of some of these kids, and they are serving God one way or another today, for sure. Anyway, it's concentrated Bible and God time. It's not all just zip line fun and games. In fact, I don't think they have any zip lines, but there's a whole lot of God stuff that goes on there. It's a good, solid ministry. Anyway, I do want Amy, can you come up here? I want to pray for you too. Lord, I thank you for this man and this woman that you brought together 7 years ago. We just say thank you for that gift to each of them. You've got three precious ones, Lord, that are your inheritance granted to them for a time. Thank you so much for their children, Lord. Bless them with wisdom, with ability in raising those kids up. Father, as they make this move, just smooth their way. They do need provision. They need affirmation in that way, Lord God. And so take care of Kenny and Amy, their family. Get them down here as soon as is right. Father, I do want to pray for your miraculous touch upon our sister Janice. What's going on in her blood?
Yes,
it's crazy. It's wild, and they really didn't know a cause. But Father, we put her in your hands. You are the great physician, and ask you to heal her mightily, and even immediately, Lord, we ask for your glory. Bless these two with safety going back up to their home, Lord. Again, just smooth out the way in front of them. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing your heart and your story with us. Appreciate that a lot.
Sure.